Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. Lord, we just pray that as we prepare, our hearts will be open to receiving your word today. Lord, that you will challenge us by your Holy Spirit here today, we pray. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, please be seated. Thanks, worship team. How many of you got the Lurch reference? If you got the Lurch reference, you are showing your age, because Lurch from the Addams Family. But this month, our theme is the Lurch in Church. There's a Lurch in Church. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the unshakable church. The unshakable church. On April the 15th, 2019, we awoke. I don't know how many turned on the TV to see the morning news, but we awoke on that date in 2019 to the news that the world's most famous church was on fire. Many of you will be able to remember the images of Notre Dame in Paris and the spire that was totally engulfed in flame and crashing into the building. This monumental church, it's Romanesque and Gothic architecture, and the fact that it had been built over two centuries it had taken to build that building, and in a moment, in it seemed just an insignificant amount of time, that it was destroyed. I remember seeing many of the images, many of the paintings that Monet had done. He did 28 paintings of Notre Dame, and seeing some of those paintings, just a most amazing monumental building. It took about 15 hours to destroy or largely destroy the building, and they estimate it's going to take about $1 billion, that's billion with a B, billion dollars, to rebuild it, and roughly 9 years to fully restore Notre Dame, although there will be parts of it open at the end of this year. When I saw those pictures, I didn't think much of it at the time, other than what a shame it was to lose such a heritage monumental building. But I believe now, looking back, it was actually a metaphor. It was a metaphor, because in those years, the world was totally shaken, of course, by the epidemic that we were facing. But I believe, too, it was a metaphor of the fact that the church was shaken to its core. The church was shaken to its core. I know many, many churches that through those years, they were shaken to their very foundations. See, I believe that God is wanting to reignite his church, to bring about his purpose, to bring about purposes that I believe for some time now have been stifled because of man's fixation on traditions and monuments and self-grandiosement. And God is saying, I want my church back. I want my church back. Over recent decades, there has been a lurch in church. That word lurch means an unsteady and a staggering movement. There's been an unsteady and a staggering movement away from God's intended purpose, where we have suffocated the spiritual fire to focus on our own plans and our own ideas to build our own church. And God's saying, I will build my church. I will build my church. It's like over the last decades, the church worldwide, it's like we've said this, God, it's okay, you just take a rest and I'll replace your presence with my program. I'll replace your vision with our ambition. I'll replace your clear message of salvation with my seeker-friendly service. I'll replace your balance of truth and grace with a popular gospel, with a social acceptance kind of gospel. I'll replace the headship of Jesus Christ with the personality of charismatic leadership. And God's saying this, he's saying, that's enough. That is enough. No more of that. That's enough of this lurch in church. It's time to shake things up so that what remains is unshakable. And I believe prophetically that's where the church is at right now. Let me read to you Hebrews 12, verse 26 and 29, 229. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire, unshakable. Friends, I'm here to say this morning that there's a whole lot of shaking going on so that the church will get back to the unshakable foundation of God's purpose. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. The number one principle, the first principle for the unshakable church this morning is simply this, that church is about God's eternal purpose, not man's temporal pleasure. The church is about his eternal purpose. You see, just to reiterate this morning, in case we've forgotten or in case we don't know, the church is a divine creation. It is a divine creation. It's not a man-made institution. It is, as says in Ephesians 3, it is God's unveiled mystery to reach a world that is lost and to bring that world back to himself through the cross of Jesus Christ. That is the church. And when we understand that the church is a divine creation, it means that I can't treat his divine creation as some sort of optional extra. I just can't do that. I can't subscribe to its importance like I would the membership of the local club. It means that I don't treat it as a critic giving it a mark out of 10 by my attendance or my non-attendance. And it means I don't give it up because I'm not enjoying it. I heard that a lot during the last few years. I'm just not enjoying it anymore. That actually says more about where you're at than where the church is at. But this is what it means. It means that I actually value the house of God. I actually treasure this wonderful gift, this wonderful plan from God to us, his church. His inspirational strategy involving you and I to reach this world for Jesus. It means I'm seeking after his presence. It means I look beyond my own personal like as far as style goes, and I actually find him. I find him. Remember years ago when I was studying to be a school teacher, I did a teaching prac in the little country town of Meriden in WA. Incidentally, the place where WA recorded its last shaking earthquake. But I did my teaching prac there, and we were there on a weekend as well in between the 2 weeks of prac. And so I decided I would go to church. And so I found the nearest local church I could in the town. There were 2 churches, and I went along to this particular church. I went in, I sat at the back. They handed me this black songbook. And I looked up there, and there were about 7 people, the average age about 80 or so. And they were doing everything off a particular sheet. And they had one of those little wooden signs with the hymn numbers. Yeah, some of you will know what I'm talking about. And I sat at the back as a 17, 18-year-old. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I should just get up and leave. This just isn't my thing. This just isn't my style. I don't even know some of these hymns. Hold the fort, for I am coming. I just didn't. And so I thought I would get up. I thought I would leave. And then the voice of the Holy Spirit nudged me, spoke to me, and said these words, John, you find my presence here. And so I stayed put. And guess what? I found his presence there. I found his presence there. You see, I just don't get it. People go on this hunt for his presence, but his presence is always there. People wandering around all over the place looking for his presence. Hey, his presence is there. His presence is with us. You see, when all the fluff and all the bubble, when the lights and the whistles and all the glitter and the razzmatazz of man's agenda has fallen away, what will be left is his presence in his unshakable, steadfast, immovable church. I love that. Church is about God's eternal purpose, not man's temporal pleasure. Now, when you look at some of the passages in the Word of God about the church, we continue to see God's divine plan for his unshakable church. And I want to share with you some of those principles for his unshakable church this morning. Let's go to another passage, 1 Peter. Beautiful passage on the church of God, 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 5. This is what it says. You're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. I love that. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. What a wonderful passage this is about the church of God. Here's the second principle for an unshakable church. It's this: church is about dynamic living stones, not stagnant dead monuments. It's about something dynamic, dynamic living stones. You see, Notre Dame is a monument. I looked up all these references. I looked up all these media articles about Notre Dame. And these were the kind of things they said. They were references about the Gothic and the Baroque artwork, whatever that is. They were talking about the 17th and 18th century altarpieces. They were talking about the vaulted ceilings. Some articles even talked about the sculptured gargoyles. On the outside, one article talked about a golden rooster. I didn't quite understand that. And then there were articles that were talking about the fact that Notre Dame houses the true. And let me repeat, the true, let me repeat, the true crown of thorns. Not only that, but it also houses apparently a sliver and nail from the true cross. Wow. And then, of course, there were lots of articles about the 13 million tourists that it attracts every year. You see, it's a monument. It's a symbol. It's an historical landmark in the city of Paris. But friends, it's not church. Because church is, in the words of the Bible, the word used for church on most occasions is the word ecclesia, which means it's a gathering together of God's people, people who are passionately in love with Jesus and come together to worship him. It's a vibrant, living organism, not an outdated organization. It's steadfast, it's immovable like a rock, but it's alive and transformative, just like the air we breathe. And the challenge of the church today, I believe, is that it keeps on living. It keeps on living. It doesn't become a monument to things that once were. Friends, you see, we can't live on yesterday's experience. We can't live on what happened yesterday. We can't live on what used to work or how it used to be. We can't live there. We need a new life-giving, transformative, fresh touch for today. So how does the church keep on living? How does this church keep on living? I think there's five things that are required for life: oxygen, food, water, and I would add to those things shelter and relationship. So how does the church of God keep living? Well, it requires oxygen, the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to come into the house each and every day, each and every time we meet together to experience the Holy Spirit. It needs food. It needs the nourishment of the Word of God consistently. It needs water. It needs us to be thirsty, to have an insatiable thirst for the things of His presence. God, we want more of you. Yesterday was great, but we need more of you today. We need something fresh today. We need your presence now. Yeah. Needs the shelter, the covering of His grace. And it needs relationship, the gathering of the family of God. Amen. Amen. You see this passage from 1 Peter. He goes on to say that we are holy priests offering spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Here's the third principle of the unshakable church. Church is about holy, sacrificial lives, not self-absorbed lives. Paul tells us in Romans 12, he says to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. You see, being a follower of Jesus actually means some things. It means hungering after righteousness, hungering after holiness, but it also means living a sacrificial kind of life. And the recent lurch in church has made church more of a consumer commodity. What can church offer me? I'm going to choose that church because they offer this particular program or they offer me this particular thing, and it's like we've become marketable to reach the masses. We're even willing to compromise on holiness for a more palatable gospel so that people keep rolling in, finances keep rolling in. And I think about what the church has become. I think about this lurch in church over the last decades. I think, how far have we drifted away from the heart's cry of the psalmist David? Psalm 116, let me read to you a few verses. This is what David says. What can I offer to the Lord for all that He has done for me? And he goes on and says in verse 17, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people in the house of the Lord. Friends, the unshakable church is a church that doesn't focus on what it can get, but what it can give to the Lord. What we can give to the Lord. He is so worthy to be praised. And it starts with thanksgiving and praise, David says here. Well, if I'm going to offer something to the Lord, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he says. I will praise Him. I will call on the name of the Lord. What can I offer the Lord? At the very least, I can offer thanksgiving and praise for all He has done and all that He is. At the very least, we can praise His name. At the very least, I can raise my voice and I can sing. I can offer a sacrifice of praise that rises above my circumstances, rises above those things that I'm troubled with, and I can focus on the worthiness of God, for He is worthy in spite of what I'm going through. At the very least, I can raise my hands in surrender to the Lord. At the very least, I can participate And I can be involved in praise and worship, not just sit back as a spectator. At the very least, I can come with a desire to offer my praise to the Lord. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. That means the thanksgiving is already there. It doesn't say enter his gates hoping to be stirred up with thanksgiving, hoping that something will happen in the meeting that'll say, oh, yeah, I get that. Yeah, that's good. I'm starting to feel better about it. No, enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. At the very least, I can declare the goodness of God in the presence of all his people. Can I just say this, friends? Thanksgiving, praise, and worship is more than just the preliminary to the preach. It's more than just giving you a moment to have your coffee and your chat in the foyer and then come and settle in. Whew. Did he really say that? I'm offended. Friends, thanksgiving and praise is the expression of a holy people offering pleasing sacrifice to our God who gave everything for us. And let me just say this, when a church struggles to offer heartfelt praise, it's a sure sign that there's a lurch in church. A lack of praise is one of the first symptoms of a dying church. Friends, I don't want us to be that kind of church. I don't want to be involved in that kind of church. I want to be the unshakable church offering Jesus the praise and the honor that he deserves each and every day. It's not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on how we're feeling. It's not dependent on what's going on in this world. He is worthy to be praised. And as an unshakable church, we're going to give him all our praise. We're going to give him honor. We're going to exalt his name. We're going to lift him high. That's the unshakable church. Let's look at one more principle this morning from another passage of Scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22. So now you Gentiles, I love this because that includes you and I. Now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. How good is that? You are members of God's family. Together we are his house. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Oh, there's so much in this passage about the church of God, but here's the principle I want to finish with this morning, and we're going to continue next week. A principle for the unshakable church. Church is about a household of belonging, not just a meeting place of believing. Says here in Ephesians 2, it makes it pretty clear. It can actually, that chapter can be summed up in just one sentence. Because we are alive in Christ, we belong to God's family. Because we are alive in Christ, we belong to God's family. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners, but we are members of God's family. Now, don't get me wrong this morning, what we believe is foundationally important. We'll talk about that next week. But I actually see a pattern here in Ephesians 2, and this is the pattern: birth, belong, believe. Or let's put it another way: alive, accepted, advanced. Or let's put it another way: living, loving, learning. Living, loving, learning. You see, if we are to be an unshakable church, we're to start by loving and the learning will come. We're to start by accepting, and the advancement will come. If people feel that they belong, they'll be open to believe. And I think over the years, I think the church with the lurch has gotten it wrong. It's almost like, show me your adherence to the truth and then we'll accept you. And I don't think that's how we're meant to be. I think there are many people that have come through the doors of churches throughout our country. And I think they have actually responded in some way to some sort of quickening of the Holy Spirit. And they've started out on this journey of exploring this, what does it mean to be alive in Christ and what does it mean to be saved? But what they're actually looking for on that journey is they're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking at being a part of the family, being welcomed in. But instead, I think many people over the years have gotten judged by some sort of expectation of what they should know or what they should believe. But friends, an unshakable church is a church of love. It's a church of love. It's a church of acceptance. It's a church of allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in people's lives rather than us trying to do it ourselves. It's a church of loving and supporting along the journey. In Paul's words, he said it like this. He said, let me show you a more excellent way. Let me show you a more excellent way. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 and 2. And I want to read it from the Message. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Friends, God is bringing us back to the place of being His unshakable church. He's calling us at Capital Edge to be His unshakable church. That means fulfilling God's divine purpose. It means dynamic and alive in God. It means holy and full of sacrificial praise to our God. And it's a place where people on the journey are loved and accepted. Wow. We'll continue with the unshakable church next week. But let's close our eyes for a moment.